Kid, you're having your own lesson, so you don't have to listen to me today. Good for you. Hey, Terry, we're going to be in the book of Jonah. Pretty cool book. But I wanted to just preface a few things. You know, there's a lot going on. You know, the kids are going back to school, the county fair's coming, football's starting, volleyball's starting, band is starting. Man, it's just a lot. Did a cool thing yesterday, went to North Moore's Pie Auction for the football team. And, you know, we have five young men from the church here that play football at North Moore, 3 in junior high and 2 in high school. And I thought, you know, it'd be cool. We could help the kids out a little bit. Let me tell you, well, we bought Brody Gray's pie. The church did. Bought Brody's pie. We tried to buy a couple others of the young men's, Mr. McCoy and Nolan, and then Jackson and Bo. I haven't cut the pie yet. I probably won't eat it. Morgan's looking forward to breaking into that pie. I'm sure it'll be delicious. But it's really cool to see a community come together for a need. And yes, football is not necessarily a need, but man, when those kids go out on the field, and whether it's Mount Gilead, Northmore, Cardington, I don't care, it costs a lot of money to get those kids onto the field. The coach told us yesterday what a football helmet costs, and I remember the football helmet I wore. I bet they probably paid $50 for it. $500 or $600 for a helmet now. That is nuts. But, you know, all the head deals and all that, you want to make sure you put them in the best stuff. So, it's expensive, and that leads me into... I coached a girl about 20 years ago in softball, and she shared something, a sign that she saw, and I thought it was pretty cool. It said, "Everything has gone up in price except salvation. It is still a free gift paid in full by Jesus." And guys, everything around us is nuts. But we should take a great amount of joy in the fact that there's one thing in our life, probably the best thing in our life, and it's free. It's free. It doesn't cost us a dime. That leads me into the title of the message is, sorry I didn't have it done when Julie called Thursday or Friday. God worked on me pretty hard. But the title is two words. I do. And you can say, oh, well, that's because Lindsay's getting married next week. No, it's not. I wanted to do something goofy with weddings, but I didn't. But I do. Two words. Pretty easy to say. There's also two words that are pretty easy to say on the other end. I don't. Guys, we have a choice. We have a choice. You know, when he died on the cross, he could have just said, hey, everybody that comes along, man, everybody's just a Christian. God could have wired us so that we're all just Christians, we're all just happy-go-lucky, no drama, no nothing in this world. But we know by the example Jesus lived through, he had drama. He just dealt with it different than we do. Okay? And, you know, I'm just going to share real quick about the wedding planning. You know, everything is going so smoothly. Everything is, you know, next Saturday, Lindsay and Skylar get married. And we're having no issues. I was able to stay out of it, so it was perfect. Monday after work, Lindsay calls me. And says, we got a problem. I said, what's that? She says, American Commodore Tuxedo. You know, the place you rented your tuxes from? I said, yeah. She said, they shut down operations last night at midnight. I said, you're kidding me. So instantly I'm like, okay, I can fix it. Don't panic. Don't. Let's research it. Because she saw it on Facebook. I mean, you know, Facebook is probably the second best book around. I'm kidding. But, so, you know, I've not seen Lindsay get panicked through this whole process. Because she's like, yeah, I don't care. Whatever you guys want to do. But I could tell by her tone that she was worked up about it and fretting about it. She said, so I'm going to make some phone calls. I said, okay. So I got online and started making phone calls. And I called, I don't know, 20 or 25 different American Commodore tuxedo shops. And I got the same response at all of them. No answer and the same message. Nowhere in it did it say, hey, if you're a bride and groom, we're sorry, we're not going to be able to fulfill our contract. Here's how you go about getting a refund for the money you paid. It just said, we're not available right now. Called corporate office numbers, did everything. In the meantime, Lindsay took it into her own hands, and I'm glad she did. She calls me back and says, hey, Men's Warehouse can get us fitted. And they can get our tuxes here. Perfect. We're going to have them Friday before the wedding. Okay. So we go in and we order these tuxes. Or we go in and talk to them about ordering these tuxes. And the poor girl working there was pretty perplexed. And when I walked out of there after ordering tuxes, I thought, oh, it's going to be ugly. Because I was bound and determined this girl had screwed up the order. We were going to end up in purple tuxedos with, I don't know, blue vest and ties. So they were supposed to come in Thursday night. We're supposed to pick them up Friday before the wedding. We ordered them on Monday. They called on Thursday. I got an email saying your tux is in. So I went and picked it up to verify that they were right. And we're good. Drama avoided. It just cost everybody a little extra money because now everybody rented two tuxedos for this wedding, but hey, whatever. We got them. We will have the wedding. We would have had the wedding regardless. If we were in shorts and tank tops, it wouldn't have mattered. Anyway, I'm going to go to the Lord in prayer so he can shut me down so I don't ramble. Dear Lord, just be with me today, and Lord, give me the message you want to be brought out today. This is not about Matt. This is not about what I want to accomplish. This is totally what you want. Lord, just shut my brain down and let me be the mouthpiece for you today, Lord. In your name we pray, amen. So we're going to talk about Jonah. And we all know the story of Jonah. And I also want to talk about a couple guys that just said, I do. And we know them. Noah said, I do. Built that big ark in the middle of a drought. Got laughed at. But he then became the cornerstone of everybody going forward. Moses eventually said, I do. We know what he did. David said, I do. Daniel said, I do. There's a lot of examples of guys just jumping out on faith and saying, I do. The ones that really blow my mind, we're going to get into Jonah in a minute, but the disciples, when Jesus came to them and said, hey, pick up, throw your nets away. I'm going to make you fishers of men. And those guys just said, yeah, okay, sounds cool. Let's go. That's the kind of faith we need to have. That's the kind of faith we need to have. But sometimes we're a lot like we're going to find out Jonah. Let's start it, and we're going to read chapter 1. It said, the word of the Lord came to Jonah, son of Amittai, Go to the great city of Nineveh and preach against it, because its wickedness has come up before me. But Jonah ran away from the Lord and headed for Tarshish. He went down to Joppa, where he found a ship bound for that port. After paying the fare, he went aboard and sailed for Tarshish to flee from the Lord. Then the Lord sent a great wind on the sea, and such a violent storm arose that the ship threatened to break up. All the sailors were afraid, and each cried out to his own God. And they threw the cargo into the sea to lighten the ship. But Jonah had gone below deck, where he lay down and fell into a deep sleep. The captain went to him and said, "How can you sleep? Get up and call on your God. Maybe he will take notice of us so that we will not perish." Then the sailors said to each other, "Come, let us cast lots to find out who is responsible for this calamity." They cast lots, and the lot fell on Jonah. So they asked him, "Tell us, who is responsible for making all this trouble for us? What kind of work do you do? Where do you come from? What is your country? From what people are you?" He answered, "I am Hebrew, and I worship the Lord, the God of heaven, who made the sea and the dry land." This terrified him, and they asked, "What have you done?" For they knew he was running away from the Lord, because he had already told them so. So I'm going to stop right there for just one second. Do we have anything in our life that God's asking us to do that we're running from? You know, for me, for a long time, it was, "No, God, I'm not getting up there and talking in front of people." Uh-uh. Nope, 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 nope. You know, God kept working on me. I didn't necessarily run from it, but I was bound and determined I was not the guy for that job. And I still don't think I am, but you guys come back and sit here, so God's plan's bigger than me. But Jonah said no, and he took off. Took off. This is God we're talking about. Guys, you cannot hide from your God. I don't care where you go. He's with you. He knows where you're at. He knows what you're thinking. He knows the hairs on your head. Do you think you can hide from him? But Jonah thought it was a good idea. And these sailors, they crack me up. And I noticed Jonah, he paid his fare just like anybody else would have. But there's some similarities between God and Jesus, or Jonah and Jesus. Because what happened when Jesus got on the boat with the disciples? What was he doing? He was sleeping. And the storm hit. And he slept. Jonah, in the middle of this storm, it's so bad, they're throwing stuff off the boat. Which I don't know anything about boating. But to me, that seems counterintuitive. Because I would think the more weight you have on, the more stable that makes it. Again, I know nothing about boating. I understand the more weight you have, it would sink if you got a hole. But I would think the more weight you have on a boat, it would make it stable. And these guys are chucking stuff overboard because they're panicked. And there's Jonah sleeping. The other thing that cracks me up about these sailors, they cast lots to see whose fault it was. You know, I'd have liked to have done that with my kids every time something went wrong. I'd have brought the three of them together and I'd had a handful of straws and said, okay, whoever draws a short straw, that's whose fault it was. That's crazy. That's crazy. Lindsay would have drawn the longest straw in my hand every single time just because. And it was usually her fault. Till Morgan came along. But that's how they decided they were going to blame somebody. That's how they decided. As Christians, don't we do the same thing? Can't be my fault. God put me here. It can't be my fault. Whose fault is it? We have to have someone to blame for everything. And unfortunately, when we're trying to blame someone else, because we don't take any blame ourselves, that's the one thing in history I would love to change. And the one thing about our kids and whatever I would love to change me is, man, when I screw up, I wish I'd just say, hey, it was me. Or if my kids screwed up, they said, Dad, I screwed up. It's a lot easier to fix if you don't have to do all that middle stuff and actually find out whose fault it is. We could already be past it, right? And God knows it's my fault. What am I trying to hide? Okay? But they cast lots and they figured it out. Because he had already told them he was running from the Lord. Verse 11, the sea was getting rougher and rougher. So they asked him, what should we do to you to make the sea calm down for us? And I love Jonah's response. Pick me up and throw me into the sea, he replied, and it will become calm. I know that it is my fault that this great storm has come upon you. So Jonah says, hey, it's my fault. He takes responsibility. It's my fault. I know it's my fault. Throw me overboard, everything will be good, right? These are the people in our lives, the situations in our lives, verse 13. Instead, the men did their best to row back to land, but they could not, for the sea grew even wilder than before. Then they cried out to the Lord, please, Lord, do not let us die for taking this man's life. Do not hold us accountable for killing an innocent man for you, Lord. For you, Lord, have done as you pleased. Then they took Jonah and threw him overboard, and the raging sea grew calm. And the men greatly feared the Lord as they offered a sacrifice to the Lord and made vows to him. If you ever wondered why Jonah did this, this was part of God's plan, because earlier in this chapter it says, anyway, it says that each of those sailors went to their own God. Okay? When they saw Jonah take responsibility for it, and they saw Jonah say, yeah, it's my fault because I was running from the Lord. After they threw Jonah in and the seas calmed, what did they do? They worshiped the Lord. This was God's plan for Jonah to reach people, to bring people to him. That was God's plan all along, because he wanted him to go preach in the big city that was being terrible. But Jonah was scared. Okay? So Jonah reaches these sailors. Now in verse 17, and you know, people will debate this. Guys that think they're a lot smarter than anybody else will say, there's no way this happened. Listen, I don't know about you, but I was brought up in a Christian church. I've been in a Christian church my whole life. Man, if this thing is telling me it happened, I'm not going to debate it. I'm not going to debate it. So, verse 17. Now the Lord provided a huge fish to swallow Jonah, and Jonah was in the belly of the fish for 3 days. That is nuts. That is nuts. Because when I think of a huge fish, I've never seen like a humpback whale up close, or I've never seen, I don't know what kind of whale this probably was, but I've seen killer whales, and they're called killer whales for a reason, right? Because they'll maim you. They're not going to swallow you whole. So this is a fish I've probably never even dreamt of, right? Only God can create this kind of fish. This fish says, okay, Jonah, boop, doesn't chew him, just swallows him. Rushes in with the water. Okay? You know, you could have so many questions. Why didn't he drown when he was in the fish? Whatever. Whatever. I'm going to believe that he lived for 3 days in this fish because God provided for him. God knew exactly where Jonah needed to be. And we're going to find out where that was. From inside the belly of the fish, Jonah prayed to the Lord his God. He said, In my distress, I called to the Lord, and he answered me. From deep in the realm of the dead, I called for help, and you listened to my cry. You hurled me into the depths, into the very heart of the seas, and the current swirled about me. All your waves and breakers swept over me. I said, I have been banished from your sight. Yet I will look again towards your holy temple. The engulfing waters threatened me. The deep surrounded me. Seaweed was wrapped around my head. Listen, I've shared a story about living in a lake or sea, right? I understand how Jonah felt. I thought I was drowning that day at the valley. And I know there was probably no seaweed around my ankles, but I swore there was seaweed around my ankles pulling me down. And I know there wasn't. So I understand Jonah's concern here. To the roots of the mountains, I sank down. The earth beneath me barred me in forever. So guys, there's Jonah saying, man, I was dead. I was dead. The very next verse. But you, Lord my God, brought my life up from the pit. When my life was ebbing away, I remembered you, Lord, and my prayer rose to you, to your holy temple. Those who cling to the worthless idols turned away from God's love for them, but I, with shouts of grateful praise, will sacrifice to you. What I have vowed, I will make good. I will say, salvation comes from the Lord. And the Lord commanded the fish, and it vomited Jonah to dry land. If you're going through something, God's trying to bring you back. God's trying to bring you back. Maybe you're running. Maybe you're scared. God's going to bring you back one way or another. He's going to bring you back. He is not going to give up on you no matter what is going on in your life. Jonah cracks me up. But we can learn a lot from him. Because when the light bulb finally went off. What did the first thing Jonah did? I mean, he was inside of a fish, people. Anybody ever been inside of a fish? I like to eat fish. Can't imagine being inside of a fish. I have so many questions. Because fish are kind of gross. When I took the girls fishing when they were younger, I always played the tough guy. I'd put the worm on the hook, but when they caught a fish, they'd take it off themselves. Because I don't like touching the fish. Okay? They're gross. So I'm just imagining Jonah covered in seaweed and living in this fish, and all of a sudden he just breaks down and praises God. Guys, are you covered in seaweed? We have a lot of junk in our life. God's going to hear you. God's going to hear you. And if he can make a fish vomit, I love that word in here. It's in the Bible. It's biblical. It said he vomited Jonah onto dry land. Where do you suppose that was? Anyone guess? He was on the shores of Nineveh, where God wanted him to go in the first place. Then the word of, in verse chapter 3, then the word of the Lord came to Jonah a second time, go to the great city of Nineveh and proclaim to it the message I give you. Verse 3, Jonah obeyed the word of the Lord and went into Nineveh. Now Nineveh was a very large city. It took 3 days to go through it. Jonah began by going a day's journey into the city, proclaiming, 40 more days and Nineveh will be overthrown. The Ninevites believed God. A fast was proclaimed, and all of them, from the greatest to the least, put on sackcloth. When Jonah's warning reached the king of Nineveh, he rose from his throne, took off his royal robes, covered himself with sackcloth, and sat down in the dust. This is the proclamation he issued in Nineveh. By the decree of the king and his nobles, do not let people or animals, herds or flocks, taste anything. Do not let them eat or drink. But let people and animals be covered with sackcloth. Let everyone call urgently on God. Let them give up their evil ways and their violence. Who knows? God may yet relent with compassion, turn from his fierce anger so that we will not perish. When God saw what they did and how they turned from their evil ways, he relented and did not bring on them the destruction he had threatened. So now we're full circle. And, you know, for future reading, for good times, read chapter 4 later. I'm not going to go there. I might, but we'll see. So Jonah did not want to go to Nineveh because, why? Because he was scared they would reject him. And he was scared that they would put him and they would do whatever, torture him, because he was proclaiming God's word. Right? So he ran, got in the belly of the fish, prayed, said, okay, I'll do it, God. I'm your guy. When he got to Nineveh, what happened? He started preaching right away. And you know what? Those people are all like, yes. Yes, we see our wicked ways and we're going to change. Immediately,
immediately said, I do, God.
But then the king, he would have been a whole other story, right? He could have thrown a wrench into that whole plan, but what did he do? He said, no, Jonah's right. We are miserable people. And he issued a decree to fast. And he issued that we got to ask God for mercy. Because we're terrible people. We're going to go to 4. Because I just want to show you that even though you do what God wants you to do, sometimes it doesn't go the way you want it to go. Verse 4, chapter 4. But to Jonah this seemed very wrong, and he became angry. He prayed to the Lord, isn't this what I said, Lord, when I was still at home? That is what I tried to forestall by fleeing to Tarshish. I knew that you are a gracious and compassionate God, slow to anger and abounding in love, a God who relents from sending calamity. Now, Lord, take away my life, for it is better for me to die than to live. But the Lord replied, is it right for you to be angry? Jonah had gone out and sat down in a place east of the city. There he made himself a shelter, sat in his shade, and waited to see what would happen to the city. Then the Lord God provided a leafy plant and made it grow up over Jonah and give shade for his head to ease his discomfort. And Jonah was very happy about the plant. But at dawn the next day, God provided a worm which chewed the plant so that it withered. When the sun rose, God provided a scorching east wind, and the sun blazed on Jonah's head so that he grew faint. He wanted to die and said, it would be better for me to die than to live. Verse 9, but God said to Jonah, is it right for you to be angry about the plant? It is, Jonah said, and I'm so angry I wish I were dead. But the Lord said, you have been concerned about the plant, though you did not tend it or make it grow. It sprang up overnight and died overnight. And should I not have concern for the great city of Nineveh, in which there are more than 120,000 people who cannot tell their right hand from their left, and also many animals? God cares about us. Even when we're being boneheads, God cares about us. 120,000 people in Nineveh, and they were all being boneheads. Guys, there is nothing you can do to lose God's favor. He cares about you even when you're being a bonehead. But we have to get back to the cross. We have to get back to the Word. We have to get back to prayer. Because that's what brought Jonah back. And even after Jonah agreed, he still got mad because God did what he told him he was going to do. Jonah knew that's what God was going to do all along, but he got mad. And God's point to Jonah, and I can relate it back to shepherding. I mean, if you don't take care of those sheep, they're going to die. They can't do it on their own. Guys, if we don't take care of the sheep outside, they're going to die. If you don't take care of the plant that you plant, it's not going to grow. You got to water it. You got to nurture it. You got to do all this stuff, right? Chris planted some zucchinis, and man, she was down there every night watering these things. I'm like, oh, come on. It just rained this morning. But let me tell you, you're getting zucchini off of there this long, and I mean this big and this long, and it tastes so good. I'm like, okay. I learned a lot from Chris's gardening. Now, it turned out I pulled out some squash because they were gross. But even when our plants start to wither, we're not too far gone. When we start becoming boneheads, God doesn't turn his back on us. We got to turn around and come back to the cross. And he's going to shower us with blessings. So don't run from what God wants you to do. If you do, don't think God's going to drop it. He's going to stay on top of you, still watching over you. And he's going to provide another opportunity for you to do what he wants you to do. It might be from the belly of a fish. It'd be pretty wild. Follow God's plan for your life. And don't run from it. Because he's going to get his way one way or another. And you know what he really wants the most? That day when he comes back, he wants to take you with him to heaven for eternity. Not just for tomorrow. Not just for the month of August. Forever. And that's a choice you have to make. It's free. He gives it freely. He gave it to Jonah freely many times. He gives it to you freely. No strings attached. Follow me. All he wants us to say is, I do. Not come up with reasons why we can't. I do, because he's going to give you everything you need to do it. He's going to put you in situations every single day to do what he wants you to do. It's taken me a long time to get there. Because I would fight God. I'd make excuses why I can't. I would avoid situations. I was like Jonah. I would avoid situations with certain customers because I didn't want to have a conversation that I knew had to be had. But you know, once I started having those conversations, man, my days at work become a lot more enjoyable because now I'm having four or five of those conversations a day because people know who I am. And that's pretty cool. And I fought God on that for a long time. It was kind of like separation of church and Coke. Okay. Now, man, when I blended those together, it's a lot easier to go to work. And it's a lot easier to be the guy that God wants me to be when I listen and when I follow. It's two simple words. I do. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we just come before you, and Lord, we do. We do want to serve you. We do want to live eternally with you, Lord. And Lord, we know that you're going to provide everything we need to get there. We know that there's going to be times in our lives when we stumble. There's going to be times in our lives when there's roadblocks. But we know if we lean on you, you're going to pick us up and get us through those. Lord, we love you for the example you provided with Jonah and for the example, the ultimate example you provided with Jesus. And He didn't stumble, Lord. He was perfect. And we know that through him we gain salvation and eternal life with you, Lord. In your name we pray. Amen. So we're all for a time this morning, and if you're struggling with anything, but if you're struggling with your salvation, if you're struggling with your why God wants you to do this, today's your day. Don't wait. Don't wait. World's a better place when we say I do.